Man, I remember when we were barreling towards number 200, and I look, and we're barreling towards number 300. We're at 274, Parish of the Patriots. I'm glad you're here. I understand most of y'all return members of the congregation. I do appreciate y'all. If you're new, if this is your first time listening, I hope you'll sit through the whole thing. I don't know how it's going to go. There's no script here. This is all ad hoc. You know, this all ad lib. Just going as we go. You know, stick through the whole thing. We do have a Christian specific segment. That's roughly, very roughly, the halfway point of the show. Tune in for that. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't need to hear about all that. Give it a try. Probably different than what you're expecting. So anyway, I do appreciate you stopping by. Before we keep rolling in the show, I'm trying to make some programming notes here. The site's a little clunky right now. Radio Albion, there's some stuff not working. And I know that I appreciate it. I had a listener email me about it, and some of this I was aware of, and I've been meaning to mention it, and I keep forgetting. And some of it I wasn't aware of. There's certain things that aren't working correctly, and it can't be helped. I'm just band-aiding this thing together as long as I can. At the top of the page, there is a contact us button link thing at the top of the page. That doesn't work. You click on that thing, you'll be waiting for eternity, because what that did, that would link you to the Radio Albion chat room, which no longer functions. It is gone. It's bye-bye. Because there's no money in there. And I don't have access to it, and I don't have money. But even if I had money, it wouldn't do no good, because I can't get into that part. I don't have access to that particular thing. There was some money left in there from Sven before he left. That was left there. And that's all played out. It's gone now. So if you want to contact us, there's really no us. I mean, you can use my Parish of the Patriots email if for some reason you need to contact us. And like I say, the us is just... Now, if you've got specific show questions, like for Dr. Johnson, there's links on his shows of his site where you can go to, and there's contact stuff. If you have like some question for Dr. Johnson or something, you can follow those links. You know, that contact us thing was just like, if there's questions about the networks, then y'all aren't going to have any questions, but just letting you know that doesn't work. Now, when you go to these pages and you hit the play button on the page, you know, that all works, of course. But you have your three vertical dots, and normally you could click on those and there would be a download, and that's how you download the show. And that has not, that's not working. And I wasn't aware of that. That's apparently, I guess, linked through the other somehow. Don't ask me. I'm not that technical person. It's amazing the site works at all with me doing anything. There's an easy workaround here for that. I mean, because I know if you're like me, I very seldom listen to this stuff on the side. I like to download it and listen to it while I'm doing other things. Just simply, if you look right beneath the player there, it's written out, download. And you click that, it'll pop open a new tab with another player, hit your three vertical dots on that player, and you will have a good download link. I know it's a few extra steps. I apologize for that. It is what it is. Like I say, y'all lucky this thing works at all with me messing with you. You just don't know. You've heard of shade tree mechanics? I'm shade tree IT. This is what you get. This is all you get. Some of the stuff I'm doing, that wasn't in the plan. And, you know, Sven wound up getting sent away to jail, and then things that he had arranged fell through and whatnot. And I kind of just said, well, you know, me and Dr. Johnson, we're both like, we're going to keep posting our shows. And he'd given us the stuff to where we could do that. But, you know, we wound up having to take more on when we wanted to, but that's okay. You know, I'm not whining about it, but you know, that's why little things like that are going to work. And I know the content level, you know, maybe a lot of y'all like listening, you know, having the patriotic alternative links there and the other stuff, obviously, that Sven was doing. And we have to suffer through. Anyway, I wanted to get those technical aspects. I'm going to keep bringing them up for a little while. Not incessantly, when y'all get that figured out. But that's why those things aren't working. That is the workaround. The main big thing is the download thing. I was really, again, I didn't realize that, you know, just clicking there, the download thing wasn't working. Because like if I listen to one of Matt's shows, I have it on my computer because I'm going through and putting it on there. I already have it. I want to download it. But I didn't realize that was working. So yeah, just hit where it says download below the player and that'll get you where you can. Anyway, that'll get you where you download. If you do wind up getting, now we're back on track. Now we get back on track. If you do get something out of the Today Show, don't be shy to pay those tithes. If you do want to do that, look here on the description page for the Parish of the Patriots. We have the Ultimate Privacy Coin, Snail Mail. That's it. That's all you're getting. I'm not doing crypto. I don't think I'm going back. I want to be careful about what I say I will and won't do because I want to break my word to myself, you know, and wind up changing my mind later. But snail mail works for me. I really like it. I think that's just what we're going to do. Yeah. So anyway, I appreciate it. And again, I do have my email down there. That just has to supplement the contact us or whatever. You know, there it is. I appreciate it. Listener supporter mailbag. We're talking about dropping something in the plate here. GPD, just some dough for the show. Mr. T, thank you, Mr. T. You're the slow, you're the lone survivor this week of the listener supporter mailbag. I don't spend a lot of time. Some weeks we do. Some weeks we do. We have weeks where we do the whole first part of the show, which is a listener supporter mailbag. And then we have weeks like this. So we're doing. We're done. We're through that. We're 6 minutes in. And we've covered the new technical aspects I wanted to cover. We've covered listener supporter mailbag. And we're rolling on. Now, as y'all know, and I always bring it up, okay, somebody's listening for the first time. They got an idea of what's going on here. I do have a Christian-specific segment, roughly the halfway point of the show, blah, 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 blah. I try to keep all the preachy stuff in that part. We're going to overlap a little today. A little bit different. But I want to talk about something else I was just seeing. I record the show, by the way, on the weekends. Normally, once in a while, I do it the day of. That's pretty rare because it's pretty involved sometimes. And I do it on the weekends ahead of time. Anyway, I was reading a story. I was following a story. This is stuff I've seen over the past couple of days. And I wanted to get into this. I'm not linking up news articles. We're just talking about the topics. And because of the topic, I struggled a little bit. I thought about using this in a Christian-specific segment, but I decided against that. We're going to put this in the first part of the show, but there might be a little overlap. Bear with me. Don't whine about it. It'd be good stuff. I read a story this morning. Sorry. Read a story this morning. We're 7 minutes in, and the show sucks already. I'm sorry. It's going to get better. I promise you. It's going to get better. I'll get it wrangled up here in a minute. Reading a story recently in an update on the story this morning. And it reminded me of another story. Now, there's the story I was reading this morning, this Muslim footballer, not America football. I'm talking soccer football. And there's a Muslim footballer for some country over there in Euroland or whatever. And, you know, they were doing the whatever gay shit they're doing. I mean, the gay stuff. I don't mean like soccer is gay. I'm talking gay. I'm talking global homo gay. This is the day of, I don't know, homophobia, awareness, persecution, whatever the hell. I don't know. We're now into the official month where we're supposed to all run around and celebrate and wave our rainbow flags. I haven't figured out where this phobia is coming from, but a while back, they had the National Day of Homophobia, some crap or whatever. And as usual, they make these people in public wear this regalia with this crap on here. Now, this Muslim guy refused to do it. I mean, they put it on the uniform and he put white tape over it. It wasn't a huge thing. It's a little thing. And he put white tape over it because he wasn't going to do that shit. And then I guess later they were supposed to have a photo shoot for it. And he told him, he said, I ain't doing your photo shoot, you know, holding up dildos or whatever would be involved in this. And okay, so after winning the game, they told him, well, you're going to have to face punishment because you refuse. You refuse to do this. So part of his punishment is he was supposed to go do some, I don't know, I guess, again, he was supposed to do some sort of service in you know, some kind of community service in the fundamentals of anal or some crap. And again, he told him, I ain't doing that shit. And so they're benching him for 4 games. And I'm going to assume he's not going to get paid for those four games. Also, it was interesting. We're going to come back to this here in a minute. I saw another story the other day where a young man here in America was giving his high school commencement address. And he had the nerve during his high school commencement address to mention the name of Jesus. It was just something innocuous, like Jesus is the way or something like that. He didn't get all preach. He didn't go full parish of the Patriots, because if he'd have done that, he'd have had him up there for an hour. People be leaving, they'd be like, I never thought about going to hell before. Now I got to think, I can't do a high school commencement deal. And now this guy done preached my ass into hell. I might better start repenting or something. It's just something innocuous. And they made him go and grovel before the school board and apologize to get his diploma. Because how dare you bring Jesus up at the graduation ceremony? Now they said, because it's against the rules. We don't allow going off the script. But I mean, come on. If he'd have stood up there and I don't know, waved a rainbow flag and said, you know, gay rights, I doubt he would have got drugged before the school board. It's because he mentioned Jesus in passing, just very innocuously. And this young man had to go and apologize. And he himself said later, you know, I still technically broke the rules, so I'm sorry. I need to compare the two and get off into a few things here. Now, I'm very forgiving of this young man in the sense that, how do I want to say, he's just getting started. He doesn't know. That's why I said there's going to be some overlap here. I'm going to try not to be too preachy, but there's some overlap here because he's young. He doesn't know. He's just going to start. Jesus had warned, you know, don't start on this unless you're going to be able to finish it. You know, he talked about, you know, a guy who started a building project without figuring out whether he had enough money, materials, and ability to do it first, winds up with a half-built building. Everybody walks by and laughs at him because he started this project and couldn't finish it. Don't start down this if you can't see it through. It would have been better off not mentioning Jesus at all and just going along with the program. You'd be in better shape than standing up there and having to grovel, apologize, and like you did something wrong. Be careful when you undertake these things. Now, again, look, in a grain of, you know, he's just graduating high school, so he's probably 18 years old. He's just getting started. You know, it's not like, well, this is it for him. He doesn't understand, and hopefully he'll grow in his faith and get more, you know, grow and get more secure in his faith moving forward. This Muslim we're talking about is much older. Now, the Muslim, in our case, this is what it means. Stick to your guns and to actually hold to your beliefs. It's going to cost him some money. I think a lot of times Christian people, they struggle as they know that, you know, they're not supposed to have money as a God. But what does that mean? Because I got to have some money. And how do I know if I'm crossing that line? Well, if they benching this guy for four games, I'm assuming he's not going to get paid for those four games, and probably adds up to a lot of money. And he's just like flipping them off. Like, I don't care. I'm still not doing it. You see that? There you go. That's what that looks like. Not worried about, you know, oh, it's making people, oh, they're singling me out. Oh, there's no groveling, no apologizing. He's like, I'm not going to do it. And they're like, well, it's going to cost you some money. He's like, I don't care. I'm still not going to do it. See, this is what it looks like. Now, again, I don't really mean to be comparing this like apples to apples, because an 18-year-old young man that doesn't know and that still lacks the maturity, he's just getting started. It's not a fair comparison to somebody who's older and much more mature. But it is a good example of what it looks like to hold to your faith. Now, the reason I put this in the first part of the show, which I kind of wanted to get into, is I do find interesting. And I think because people, it's one of those things that people complain about, because we are going into quote unquote Pride Month now. And it's something that people complain about, but I don't think they really ask the question. We're going to ask the question today, that they go to such ends. Like, for instance, with this Muslim footballer. Why? What is, have you ever really stopped and asked yourself why this obsession with sodomy? And we joke about it, and a lot of people joke about it and talk about global homo, and we talk about, you know, the West is fighting for gay anal in the Donbass against Russia, and the real flag of the West is a rainbow flag. But all of that is true. But we joke about, we have to remember, though, the joke is funny because there's this element of truth, and it is very much true. Most of you probably saw the pictures when the U.S. was still occupying Afghanistan before surrendering to the Taliban, and their embassy there had the rainbow flag hanging off of it. It's literally the flag. And we talk about it, but why? Why do they have this obsession with sodomy? Because if you really get down to it and really bear down that question, I think it gets hard. I do. I think it's hard to answer it. And leaving out the spiritual element of it. Now, you say, well, yeah, no, this is a part of their campaign to lower birth rates. They've accomplished that. That's mission accomplished. Birth rates across the West are horrible. Feminism and contraception, they've done that. You know, feminism, contraception, you know, this twisted up culture, pornography, all of these things. Look, the birth rate, that's mission accomplished. I mean, the gay anal thing, this sodomy obsession, I don't really think you can say, oh, well, this is a direct part of that. They've already accomplished that mission. And in a lot of ways, this obsession that they have with sodomy, It's detrimental. If you think about it just strictly from a worldly perspective, it's in a lot of ways, it's detrimental to their own plans of what they're trying to do here. You know, what the empire is trying to accomplish. I mean, you think about it, they're going to need people. You know, right now they're agitating for war on three fronts: Middle East for their master country, Israel, that runs the U.S. government. At this point, that's not even a controversial statement because it's everybody can see it. You know, I don't go on about it. I'm not going to go on about it because if you don't see that now, you're either so low IQ and stupid that it's a waste of one's time to talk to you, or you see it and you're just going to deny it because you don't want to see it. And again, that's a waste of anyone's time to try to convince you because anybody who sees it and just says, no, I don't want to see that. I'm not going to see it. I don't like where that's going. I'm not going to look at it. That's a waste of time. Regardless, it's so in your face now. There it is. It's not even a controversial statement. We've seen the genocide going on against the Palestinians and the way that the government has reacted and responded to this. You know, that's not a controversial statement. Anyway, so they're agitating for war on three fronts: for their master country, Israel, against Russia, and against China. Three fronts are agitating for war. And we also know their recruitment rates, getting people to join the military, are about on par with the birth rates in the country. There's kind of like they coincide, you know, there's a parallel there. Now, at some point in time, they're going to need you to go die for their program of Israel or fighting Russia or China. They're going to need you to go do that. And I've said for some time that, you know, trying to point you at gunpoint, instituting a draft in this country is one of those few things that really could just literally blow the country up. Americans will go along with people in general will go along with a lot of BS as long as they can view it as it doesn't affect them personally. They can sit here and say these wars all over the world, these are stupid, why does the government do this, yada yada yada. But if the government shows up at your house and says, now you got to go get blown up for this shit so the bankers can make more money, so the military industrial complex can land that $6 billion whatever contract, all of a sudden then it becomes personal. Instituting the draft is a very risky, desperate move, but they're going to need people to go in there. Now, they would have a lot better opportunity to do this if they were not constantly pushing sodomy on everybody. It's counteractive. People say, "Oh, the sodomy thing. This is a part of declining birth rate, and you know, making white people a minority in their own country." Well, they could do that a lot more efficiently, a lot faster, if they could wave the American flag, get your dumb asses to join the military, and go get blown up in the South China Sea, in Ukraine, or in the Middle East. They wipe a whole lot more of y'all out if they sit there and go, "Yeah, yeah, wave, wave, America, we're protecting freedom." And yet, they don't do that. They wave the rainbow flag in your face and call you a homophobe and tell you you gotta celebrate the anus. You see what I'm saying? It's detrimental to logic. It's detrimental to their own plans. It would further their agenda much more efficiently if they abandoned all this obsession with sodomy, you know, and instead just tricked you. That, strictly from a worldly standpoint, it makes way more sense just to trick you. Talk about rah, rah, America, God bless America, USA, USA. You know, go shoot Chong, go shoot Ivan, go shoot Muhammad. Instead, they're waving the rainbow flag in your face, calling you a homophobe and all these other names. And then they're like, "Oh, by the way, we're going to need you to go kill these people because they don't want to do this." It's detrimental to them. And yet this obsession with it remains. Why? You got to try to answer the question. Why? Why are they so obsessed with this? Why does it make them so mad when somebody puts a piece of tape over their stupid little logo that no one's paying attention to anyway? Why are they so obsessed? You got to go. You know. Now, some of that's a demand to submit. I don't believe, and what I'm getting to with this, and where really the overlap comes in, I referred to earlier, I really don't think you can explain this without incorporating and taking into account the spiritual aspect of it, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Their program, whether you're talking about a program of reducing the number of white people, declining the birth rate, whatever, and this obsession with these wars, and all is just as a practical manner, this obsession with sodomy is detrimental to those plans, and yet they remain obsessed with it. And it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Unless you take into account the spiritual aspect of it, then it does make sense. Then it does. Then it all comes together. You know, that's where I believe that's where all that comes from. And bear with me. There's certain things you can do, certain sins that you commit, that just by their very nature are more difficult to come back from. Because it requires to do those things, to take those actions, requires you moving this much further away from the Lord. You know, you're just further away. When you're doing this, it means it requires you to move that much further away. And so the trip back to the Lord is farther. So it just makes it more difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is very, very difficult. And this is one of those things. And I think something, even if you're like not even a religious person, by an instinctual nature, you do understand that. You know, you do. You understand there's something about it that you just understand on an instinctual basis that is different from other things, you know? Man could be a whoremonger running around banging on these different hoes, being a rancid fornicator, and it does not have that same visceral, you don't have that same visceral reaction to it as you do with sodomy. You don't. And there's a reason for that, and that it's because to do that requires you to move further away. When you take into account the spiritual aspect of it, this obsession with this makes sense. I don't think you can make sense of it otherwise. Because again, on a practical matter, they could move their worldly agenda ahead much faster, much more efficiently by not doing this, by abandoning this crap, and yet they won't. They're obsessed with it. I always say that you can't really understand the things you see in the world around you until you really, truly, fully wrap your mind around the fact that the larger, big picture context of what you're seeing in the background is a spiritual battle. Yes, there's physical elements in it, and there's people that have their agendas and all that in this world. I get that, obviously. But you don't really get to the bottom of it until you understand the picture in the broadest sense that there is a spiritual aspect to it. And I think this obsession with sodomy really highlights that fact, that this, at the core of it, is a spiritual battle. If you don't understand the type of battle you're in, you're not going to be prepared for the conflict. And you understand in the broadest sense, in the background, you step back, you look at the picture way up close, you can look at the details, but you don't understand what the picture incorporates until you stand way back. And you look and you say, wow, oh, okay. If you understand the full context of the spiritual nature of this, what we're seeing reflected in the world, then it comes together and makes sense. Then it makes sense that they continually push this sodomy, even when it really, in a lot of ways, runs counter to their other worldly agendas. Again, those agendas would work more efficiently. They would have better luck with it if they weren't shoving the rainbow flag in everybody's face. You want fewer white people in the country? You pump up the patriotism and get them to join the military and send them off to China, Russia, or the Middle East to get blown up. More of them the merrier. You're going to get more of them to volunteer to join. If you rah-rah USA, then if you ga-ga do the gay, or that wasn't very good. But you know what I'm saying. They're obsessed with this. They will not abandon it because it obviously is fundamental on some point or another. It's not debatable. It's obviously a fundamental element. And I don't think you can really wrap your mind around it and understand the why unless you understand the context of you know, the driving forces behind it. You know, I do. One of the things that perplexes people, you know, is they say, well, there's so much coordination, you know. You talk about this, but how is it so coordinated? You know, why? How is this so coordinated? How is you got this worldwide coordinated effort? It can't be. It's too coordinated. Now, there's a certain contradiction in logic when people try to say there can't be this grand conspiracy of these people, you know, because it's too coordinated. Well, how would it be coordinated if there wasn't, you know, what I'm saying? But they'll point and they'll say, well, they're not holding secret meetings. They're not holding secret meetings. And how is it this coordinated? There's too many people involved with different agendas. How come it's all pushing in the same direction? In other words, you struggle to find that level of coordination. How is it achieved? When you're talking about a worldwide agenda involving so many different people and people being people, they are going to have their own agendas. And yet everything pushes in the same satanic direction. You see, the coordination is also explained in the spiritual level. There is a central coordinator. In other words, what's more efficient in a form of government that gets things done? A democracy or a monarchy? Some form of autocratic or authoritarian, with these terms they like to use, but it basically comes back to a king. What's more efficient? What country is going to be able to get things done, get reforms pushed through, get agendas and a vision completed? One that's centered around some form of government that's likened to a monarchy, or this democracy where you got all these different groups pushing for all these different agendas. Well, of course, some form of monarchy. When you have a strong central figure that coordinates these things and surrounds themselves with people that share the vision and can carry out and they can delegate these things, you can get those things done. Where in democracy countries, they just run around everybody pushing their own agendas and nothing gets done. You see this global push in the same direction. You say, how is this coordination happen? Because it's a monarchy and Satan's at the top. And he surrounds himself with people that share the vision and he delegates to them and it drives the agenda forward. That's why it works, because it's not a democracy. there is a central coordinate. That's how you explain the central coordination. That's why you can see that bigger picture. The central coordination, this is the driving force behind it. And it's one of the reasons you see this obsession with sodomy. We're going to get on into, like I say, there was a little overlap there. I really tried hard not for there to be. Believe me, I could have gone off full on Bible thumping on y'all, and I didn't do it. There was a little overlap, but now we're going to get into the real deal. You know, so now it'll get better. You know, we're going to get into the real deal. Let's get into this week's Christian-specific segment. Y'all know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon, The Parish of the Patriots. Now, I believe we'll have time today to get into maybe a couple of topics here in the Christian-specific segment. Something I thought we'd start off with, though, is the topic of forgiveness. Obviously, a central theme in the Christian religion. And like so many other things, the MCC has twisted this term. What does forgiveness mean? And I thought we'd talk a little bit about what it means to forgive. As you know, and or at least as I go on and on about, probably the point that I'll get sick of hearing about it, everything in the Bible is action related. They're not empty emotionalism. So what is forgiveness? I mean, what does that really mean? What does it mean to forgive somebody in the biblical context? Now, Jesus said, you know, as long as a believer comes to you, as long as somebody comes and repents, you should forgive them. And, you know, if they come seven times, you know, and repent each time, you forgive them. You know, and the disciples were like, how many times do we have to forgive them? Jesus, like, basically, it goes on and on. If they repent. Now, there's a key element here. If they come and repent. Now, we know that repentance means action. So this doesn't mean every time somebody comes and says, oh, hey, I'm sorry, but they just, I mean, they never even take a break. They just keep doing what they're doing. Like, oh, well, he said he's sorry, so I forgive him. Well, most disgusting. One of the most disgusting things I find is you'll have a Christian family and they'll get a family member murdered, you know, and you have this unrepentant murderer standing up there at trial. Oh, he might have tears coming off his eyes and he say, oh, I'm so sorry. I killed him. But they're not sorry. You know, they're not sorry. They're not sorry they did it. They're sorry they got caught, which is a completely different thing. And this is why repentance is action, is not words. Because if somebody says, oh, I'm really sorry for doing that, well, it can mean a lot of things. I mean, they may really feel an emotional feel. This is the difference between emotional feelism and actual things related to the Bible when we talk about these words. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry, because they may really be sorry that they got caught, that now they might go to death row, or that they're going to prison, or their mama's real mad at them because now they're in trouble and they don't understand how they did that, or so on and so forth. There's a lot of things they may be sorry for, but that doesn't mean anything. You have this unrepentant murderer and he's standing up there talking about, I'm sorry, and the Christian family will stand up there, basically in my mind, on top of the corpse of their loved one and say, oh, we forgive him. We forgive him. We know he did this and there was no excuse for him murdering our family member, but we've chosen to forgive him because that's what Jesus would want us to do. We wonder why people are off put by Christianity today. I defend Christianity. Now, let me put it a different way. We discuss here and try to come to a deeper understanding of our own faith of Christianity. What I don't defend in any way, shape, or form is this MCC Christianity, because it's so off, just out there somewhere. To stand up there basically disrespecting your murdered loved one as if they don't matter and talk about you forgive this criminal who's only sorry that he's going to face the consequences of what he's done. Jesus, because they said Jesus wants us to forgive. Jesus told us that we have to forgive them no matter what they do or how many times they do it. No, Jesus said, as long as, you know, if they come back to you and repent, which is action, which is they're trying to do better. They come back and they're trying to do better. Then you forgive them. But what does that mean? What is biblical forgiveness? How are you forgiving them? It has to be more than you sit there and say, well, okay, I'm going to go tell everybody I love them. I love them. I feel an emotional feeling of love when you don't. It's so many of these things. The Lord is teaching us about Him. A lot of the things we go through in life and just struggles we go through and things we learn and things we observe and the way the world works around us. And when I talk about the world, I mean the creation world, not the sinful world of what people are doing so much. But these are lessons. God is teaching us about Himself. We just have to open our eyes and see what that means. Wrap our minds around it. God opens up all these opportunities to learn about Him. Jesus says, as long as they come and repent, that's not saying, oh, I'm sorry. Because if you just keep letting somebody do something to you because, oh, I'm sorry I got caught, you know? If you're married and your spouse is constantly cheating on you and every time you catch your spouse, they say, oh, I'm sorry. And then like the next day, they're doing the same thing again. You're just a sucker. You're not forgiving and they're not repentant. You're just playing this game here. You're just being used and abused. It's not saying it's sorry. It's repentance. It means they're taking action and attempting to do better. They're taking action. And now, just as an example, if our criminal in our example we were talking about earlier, standing up, they're not crying about, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to prison. If he stood up in the court and looked at the judge and said, I killed these people's son for no justifiable reason. Your Honor, give me the maximum sentence. I'm not asking for, my lawyers are up here asking you to have leniency on me. I'm telling you, don't have leniency. I did this. Their loved one isn't coming back. I did this. And because I did this, they need to see some sort of punishment, Your Honor. Don't give me leniency. That would be a sign of repentance. He's taking action. He's taking action and saying, he's not just standing up there going, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to prison. He's standing up there and saying, I did this. I can't undo it because this is why we always want to be careful about our decision making, because you can't undo them once you make them. I've done this. I can't undo it. I can't undo the damage I've done to these people. What I can do is give them some sort of comfort. I'm asking, Your Honor, don't be lenient. I'm not going to stand up here and cry and beg and make excuses. That would be a form of repentance. That would be a way that person has taken action. Now, flip that over. What is forgiveness? What is forgiveness when somebody repents? The easiest way, I think, to wrap your mind around this is you don't hold it against them. When you see that they're taking action, you don't have to jump up right away. You just caught your spouse in bed with somebody else getting railed on. And then they're running around crying going, it was an accident. I'm sorry. And you say, okay, I forgive you right there. No, you don't have to do it right away. Forgiveness isn't something you have to jump up and do right away. You got to wash your hands and do. That's not forgiveness. That's wanting to run away from dealing with a problem. That's not forgiveness. You just, the person that jumps up and says, okay, I forgive you. They just don't want to face it. They don't want to sit there and wrap their minds around, okay, well, you know, she was in here getting railed on while she thought I was at work. And I came home to surprise her for her birthday, and boy, I was the one that got a surprise. They don't want to face that. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to wrap their minds around it. So as a form of denial, they say, okay, I'll believe you. You're sorry. It was just an accident. You just fell down and his pecker wound up in you. I forgive you. That's not forgiveness. That's just not wanting to face reality. You know, that's just being in denial of reality. forgiveness doesn't have to come right away because you've got to see the repentance first. Otherwise, your forgiveness isn't real. It's just empty. Forgiveness comes because Jesus said, forgive them when they come and repent. See, the MCC leaves that repentance part off. And they just act like you're just supposed to blindly go around talking about, I forgive them. No, Jesus said, if they repent, and repentance means action. So how are you going to forgive someone right away? She's standing there with the sheets wrapped around her naked ass, and this guy just jumped out the window running down the street, and you're going to stand there and go, I forgive you. You're going to have to see some action here. You got to see some concrete action that shows to you that they're taking a different approach. They're doing something different. That's repentance. You got to see the repentance. Now, when you see the repentance, then you've got to forgive. And what does that mean? It means you don't hold it against them. You know? We'll just stick with this cheating spouse thing. You caught your spouse cheating. This was going on and all this. Y'all stayed together. You're working it out. You know, and you watching. And your spouse hasn't been cheating anymore. They've been making a concrete effort to do better. They've been doing better. You watch and you verified. Now you forgive them. It means that 3 years later, when y'all get in a fight, you don't look at her and point your finger and say, you cheating whore. You were in here. You remember you did. That's not forgiveness. Okay. That you have not forgiven and you have failed there. And if you're not going to be able to let it go regardless, then you shouldn't be sticking around trying to work that out. But that's getting into, too specific a thing. We're trying to stay on the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness means you're not holding it against them. Even though, yes, they caused you these problems. Yes, they did this thing. Go back to our analogy of the murderer going to prison and him standing up there not asking for leniency and taking ownership of what they've done. He's still going to prison. You don't go to the judge and say, Your Honor, please don't send him to prison. He's a good boy that didn't do nothing and he should be released. No, let him go through his repentance. What that means is you don't sit there and send hate letters to him threatening his life while he's in prison. If he's taking the action, then you got to take it upon yourself, to let that go, to not hold it against them. Now, if we were being honest with ourselves, we think about this and we say, but that's hard. And it is. Look, there's nothing about this. There's nothing about following the faith that's easy. Again, one of the things I hate about the MCC is this promotion that, it's so easy. This is not easy. It's not supposed to be. That's why only a remnant. We talked recently about Jesus saying that only a few, a lot of people are going to try to enter through the narrow way, and very few are going to be able to do it. This is not easy. You're right. It's hard. It's supposed to be hard. People talk about the education system when there were standards versus now when they let people graduate that are illiterate. So these degrees, or high school diplomas or whatever, don't mean anything. Somebody got a high school diploma, half of them can't even read. It doesn't mean anything. Kingdom of God does not work that way. You're not going to graduate unless you can do it. And you do it by proving, by gaining the education, by going through these things. And it's hard. Anybody that sits there and says, being a Christian believer and growing in the faith, it's so easy. It's not. Jesus specifically said, a lot of people try to do this and can't. They can't. It's hard. What are you going to do? It's supposed to be hard. Now, when you struggle with biblical forgiveness, because it's hard. Look, how do I want to say this? We control our emotions. But what I mean by that is we don't act out emotionally. That's a feminine thing. As men, we don't we should always strive not to let our emotions control us. But don't ever mistake controlling your emotions, meaning that you somehow don't feel the things you feel. You don't have any control over that. If I were to say, you don't have any control over your emotions, what I would mean by that would be, you can't help what you feel in that situation. You know, your emotions just come on you. To control your emotions means that you don't act out. You know, you don't act hysterical. You keep control of yourself. The emotions are what they are. And they're not an action unless you let them become an action. This is why people conflate things like faith with emotion. You know, they conflate emotionalism with biblical terms, because there's a lot of times there's emotions that are closely related to actions. But if you're in control of your emotions, look, you can't help what you feel. You can't. What you control is your actions, and that's what it means to be in control of your emotions. You don't act out. You don't let the emotions drive you. You can't help that you feel them. Don't sit around and beat yourself up because you feel certain emotions, because that just happens. Those just are going to come upon you. What you do control is you don't act on those emotions. You're not acting out emotionally, and you know very well when you act out emotionally, because when you do so, usually after the emotions are gone, you look there and say, man, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. I just got mad or whatever. You don't act on these emotions. Now, again, I have to reel myself in time and time again. You don't hold forgiveness. You are taking action. You're not holding it against them. You are taking the action. And yes, this is hard. But you have to remember now. Now, this is why I say, these things we go through, the Lord's teaching us about Him. When you think about, man, this is hard, step back for a minute from whatever the subject matter is that you're struggling and you're forgiving. Step back for a moment and think, yeah, and how many times have I put the Lord through this? How many times have I come to the Lord with my own sin and said, Lord, I really am sorry. I repent of this sin. Please forgive me. And then 2 days later, you ask, doing the same thing. You tell me. You know, you look at yourself. This is always about looking at yourself, because this is what you're going to wind up. This is what people will wind up doing when they face the Lord on the day of the Lord. They have to look at themselves and understand their sin without, you know, any kind of excuses or whatnot. As believers, we're doing it now, so we'll have it out of the way. We won't have to go through that because we've already done it. You'd look at yourself and say, how many times have I told the Lord I'm sorry for this sin? And how many times have I gone right back to the well? And I might have meant it at the time. And I tried to do better. And I turned around and did it again. How many times have you done that? How many times has the Lord had to listen to your ass sitting around talking about, forgive me, Jesus? And you turn around, do it again. How many times? How many times? And He puts up with it. Yeah, this is hard. Okay, it is hard. Now, what have you been putting the Lord through? What has He had to let? What does this look like? How do you look in front of the Lord as you compare this? Jesus explained this. He told a parable. And this is important. He told a parable. I'm doing it off the top of my head. I'm not looking at the Bible verse. We're going to do it off the top of my head. There was a servant that owed a great sum of money to the master. Couldn't pay it. And He went before the master and he went before the person and said, man, I owe you this money. I can't pay it. I'm doing it. And he was forgiven. He said, look, you know what? Don't even worry about paying it. You know, look, I know you're saying you're going to work hard and you'll work it off. Look, you know what? We're going to clear the books off. Don't worry about it. You don't owe me nothing. It's all right. Just go on. And that servant went away glad. He got forgiven of this huge amount of money that he owed the master. And it came to pass that a fellow servant owed that servant a little bit of pocket change, a small amount of money. And the other servant told him, "Hey, man, I can't pay you, man. I don't have it." This guy threw a fit. "Man, you better, bitch, where's my money?" He said, "Where's my money at?" "No, man, don't be coming at me talking about you ain't got it. I need my $50. Where is it at?" "Well, I tell you what, you better find my $50 or I'm going to drag you in front of somebody and get my $50 out of your ass." Using my pimp talk there. Now the master of the servants heard about this. He was very angry because he had forgiven that servant of a huge sum of money. And yet, when his fellow servant owed him a little bit of money, he showed no mercy. He showed no forgiveness. You understand? This is forgiveness in action. Or in this case, this is a failure of forgiveness. He got forgiven of a great amount of debt, and yet when somebody else owed him a little bit of money and he was the one standing on the other side of it, he showed no mercy at all. He demanded his $50. By golly, he'd take him to court if he had to get his $50. And the master was very angry with him, understandably so. When you're exercising forgiveness, and it's hard, and it will be hard, remember, this is nothing. This is a small debt you're working on that somebody owes you. This is nothing compared to the amount of forgiveness and the amount of patience and the amount of grace that the Lord has had to show your sinning self. This is hard. Yeah. Look what God's had to put up with. It'll bring you humility, won't it? It'll make you humble, won't it? "Man, I'm struggling. I forgive this person. I don't, you know, that." Yeah, they're trying to do better, but still, they should have done that to begin with. What if the Lord took that attitude? This is why the Lord says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." This is what God is talking about. It doesn't mean don't use any judgment. He's saying you better be careful the standards that you're holding to people, because he's had to put up with a lot more of your bullshit than you're putting up with anybody else's. Remember that. When your fellow servant owes you a little bit and you're merciless with it, remember who's forgiving you. You're hoping to forgive you for a whole lot. This is what he's warning about. And this is all a part of the whole thing where we're supposed to be learning about him. This is all opportunities. We get so caught up in the topic that we don't understand the bigger picture. These are actual opportunities God gives us to learn about him, to understand him, to figure out, to get an idea of where he's coming from. You say, put yourself in the Lord's shoes, and people feel uncomfortable. They go, "Oh, you can't put yourself in the Lord's shoes. I mean, you can't compare yourself to God." I'm not saying make yourself God. I'm saying understand where he's coming from. Understand his point of view. This is the whole reason we're here. We're supposed to understand him. We're supposed to be growing and figuring out. And as we understand him, we try to become more like him as much as we can. That's the whole point. You're never going to become more like him as much as we can if you're not able to understand where he's coming from and where he's viewing. The end of the scheme of things, you know? Don't lose your perspective. In the grand scheme of things, the stuff we struggle with, it doesn't matter. Doesn't. It doesn't matter. Go to an old, I think one of the things you can do, you know, when you got free time, go to an old cemetery. One of these old cemeteries out in the middle of country somewhere. You drive down some little farm to market road and there'll be a cemetery down there. Go walk through that thing. You know, go walk through that thing. And remember, every one of these people had things they thought in their lives were a big deal. You know? You look and there's a headstone, a pair of headstones there. This husband and this wife, and they were born here, died here. They married this many years, and they got this many, you know. She might have cheated on him. They might have had to go through this very illustration we've talked about today. And it doesn't matter. They may have gone through this very struggle. And you know what? It doesn't matter. You don't even know. Nobody even knows. So it was a temporary thing. What lasted is, did they learn something from this? Did you learn something about the Lord? These things that we always think are a big deal in this life. You know, I know we all struggle. I get it. We struggle to always keep your perspective that it's not going to matter in the long run. It really doesn't. Yes, you're upset. Yes, you're emotional. That's natural. That's normal. This is all part of it. But understand that on a long enough timeline, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to remember when you're dead and gone. You know, if 30 years from now, you're on your deathbed, whatever it is you think's a big deal today is not. It's not going to be a big deal. You're not going to give a shit. You know, you're not. Forgiveness without that repentance element from the other party is empty. You're just talking out your ass. If the other party isn't repentant, if they're not taking action, then you're not being a Christian. You're not forgiving them. You're just being a sucker. You just, God doesn't ever tell us to be stupid. You know, he says the disciples were instructed, you know, be innocent as doves, but as cunning as foxes or as cunning as wolves. You got to be cunning. You got to be smart. He doesn't ever tell you to be a moron. Don't be a sucker. If that element of repentance isn't there, and you're just sitting there jabbering about forgiveness, that has no meaning. You're not, no, that's not the way it works. Got to have that element of repentance. And when that element of repentance is there, that means you actually don't hold it against them. You know, people say forgive and forget. Well, how do you make yourself forget something? You know, you can't make yourself forget something, but what you can do is take action that you don't hold it against them. You know, I talked about, you get into an argument, don't bring up something from 3 years ago when that person repented of it. That's letting your emotions take over. That's letting your emotions control you and drive you. You got to be in control of your emotions. You might be upset. Yeah, you might be angry, whatever. You're in control of your emotions. One of the things that being a man is you be in control of your emotions. Don't let them run you around. You don't hold it against that person. That's what forgiveness is. You understand they're repenting of it. This is them paying their little bit that they owe you. And you remember this in the context of the master has forgiven you of a whole lot. He's put up with a whole lot more than you think you're putting up with. They're taking repentance. You show that reflective. This makes you learn and understand. This is how you learn and understand things from the Lord's perspective. How are you going to get more like God if you don't understand where he's coming from? If you don't at least wrap your mind a little bit around his perspective and how he sees things. How do I look before the Lord? Now, how do I look? How am I reflecting that? How am I copying that and I'm living my life and how I'm living my life? Anyway, I said we were going to get into several things. I wound up getting off on this. It went longer than I intended. We don't have time to get into other things. We don't have time to get into other things. It's okay because I have the other things jotted down. You know, they're just like one line. It's not like a whole show script. If I had a script, I'd know how long it's going to take. And we wouldn't do this. So I got these other things jotted down. We may get back to them at some point. More than likely. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. This went long. But that's all right. Hopefully you got something out of the discussion. Hopefully you enjoyed the whole show. I really appreciate y'all. I really do. I appreciate y'all tuning in every week. And coming back. You return members of the congregation. May God bless you. I really, really do appreciate you. It does. It means a lot. I hope you get a chance to check out the other stuff here that we got on Radio Albion. You know, Dr. Johnson's stuff is always good. And everybody I know, all of you probably enjoy that as well. Anyway, hey, we're going to get on out of here. I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. And as always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.